avoid it, he goes as far as hating evil, like the deepest emotions of negativity we can have towards something. He says, through the love and faithfulness sin is atoned for, through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. So again, you know, stay away from evil, and this love and faithfulness that God has shown us, we can show back and that's in atonement for our sins. We have the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We don't start to be smart about what we do in this world before we start fearing God. If we don't start out our understanding of this world with that we should have a holy, righteous fear of the Lord, we're not beginning in wisdom. Because everything that we do in this world, if we're not doing it out of a fear of the Lord, out of this reverence, out of this worship, out of this sacrifice, devotion to God, then we're doing it out of something else. And any other motivation that we could have would be a sinful motivation. What we need to be is motivated by the fact that we have God and we stand eternally in His grace, and we want our lives to be working His will here in the world. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and their children, and for their children, it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. It protects us. Again, as we said earlier, flee from evil. It stops us from doing evil. It's a fortress that protects us and our children. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is kept safe. This one brings up the point of we shouldn't be fearing this world. Whatever it is that seems rational and worldly in this here, where we are, that's not necessarily something that we should be acting on. We know that we have a God. We know that He is above all things. And we know that He is the only one that we should be giving our thoughts to, our devotion to. So whenever we fear this world, whenever we fear actions of other people, we're acting just like we saw Adam and Eve, Cain, and the third servant. We stop trusting God. We stop putting trust in Him because we're letting fear motivate us to do something that is not related to God, that is not related to Him being our first thought, our whole devotion to Him. And Ecclesiastes, last one. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Jesus narrows the commandment down very nicely. We have love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. And with this, we have roughly three things to do. We fear God. That means we devote ourselves to Him. That means we give our lives, our time, our materials, everything. It's His. We fear Him because we know what He is. We know what He has done for us, and He deserves everything that we give back to Him. And then we live a life according to the commandments. That is, we love Him and we love the people that we meet around us. Some people who managed to live according to this, we have Abraham, waits roughly 100 years to get a son, and soon after God tells him to kill his son. And as he's standing there at the altar about to sacrifice his son, God sends an angel who says, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham shows the lengths that God might act tell us to act, the length that he would say, I command you to act in this way. And you know that acting in that way could destroy your life. You know acting in that way could ruin everything that you thought that was important, everything that you've built up. But if you fear God, you count that as nothing. If you fear God, you don't look at any of the works of your life and say, God, this is too precious. It cannot be sacrificed. You say, God, as you command, I will do. On the other end of the scale, we have Job. Job doesn't have to act. In fact, he has to do the opposite. He has to endure. Job's story is a story of endurance, of continuous devotion out of the fear of God. At no point does God, well, until the end of the story, but through the whole story, God is silent. He never commands Job to do anything. He never explains to Job why the things are happening. Job just has to be silent and endure whatever happens. And the bit we have here is right after Job has lost all of his animals and all of his kids. He tears his clothes off at the news of this as servant after servant rushes in to tell him what he has lost. And he exclaims, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And this is the attitude he tries to keep through all the ordeals that's going to come his way. After he says this, there's the bit where the devil goes, oh, well, I didn't get to harm his skin. And God says, he's a God-fearing man. It will not matter. Go and do it. Job shows us an example of living in complete fear of God and enduring whatever he allows to happen in your life. Because we trust in full that we are loved by God. We trust in full that when we want his will and not ours, the best thing will happen. But the best thing does not mean that we personally become richer. The best thing does not necessarily mean that we get to experience the fun of the world or have the great successes. For Job, right up until the end, it looks like success for him is losing battle after battle after battle. He loses everything bit by bit by bit, and there is nothing inside that will seem to redeem him. We know at the end of the story that Job does get his reward for being God-fearing and for his obedience, but Job doesn't know that. Job doesn't know that as he's living through this. He doesn't know that there will be a reward at the end of this. All he knows is that he needs to be obedient because he fears God. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now this, I definitely like to point out that with this verse, I don't read it as we're not allowed to have fear ever. Clearly, Christians can have fear. We see through the Bible, we see in many ways that there can be fear. The fear that's spoken of here is the fear of judgment. It's the fear of what will happen at the end of my life. And if we are filled with God's love, if we are in his love, then that fear can have no hold over us. Because we know what happens at the end of our lives. We know that we'll be standing in white clothes, covered in blood of Jesus, and be able to enter into eternity with him because that he sees us and has forgiven us. Yes. Is that bad? No, it's okay. All right. So, what we've been through so far. We have what it's like to be fearing God and what it's like to be afraid of God. So fearing God it's rooted in the love and awe and appreciation of God's holiness. We saw Abraham, we saw Job. They understood what God was. They understood what fearing him was. And what does that do? It draws you towards God in worship. Abraham, the moment that he doesn't have to sacrifice his son, he's sacrificing a ram instead. That's a worship of God. Job, as he hears the horrible news of what's happened, what is his reaction? He worships God. He says, God, you are great, even though I might not understand what's happening. And the focus is the goodness and greatness of God. It is recognizing that we aren't good or great, but he is. And when we live in his will, he can be great through us. And that leads to wisdom and freedom and security. We can be wise in our lives because we don't fear this world. We understand being obedient to God is our purpose. We have freedom because he sets us free from everything that can chain us here, and we can live complete in him. And we have security because we know how he treats his own. Even though he takes us through tribulations, we know that the security we have at the end of this life, at the end with judgment, we have eternity. And that this life that we have here is but a speck of the existence we'll have when we go to eternity. What was it like to be afraid of God? Well, it was usually something to do with guilt and shame and a fear of punishment. People who saw what the world would do to them today, and they decided, God will not save me from this. God will not hear me out, and God will not be my solution. They stopped trusting him, and because of that, they got the punishments. They got what they feared. It actually drove them right into either what they feared or something worse. And what does it do? Well, you drive you away from God. You start hiding. You start keeping things to yourself. You start saying, God, you can't help me in this matter. You can't help me in that matter because those are off limit for you. And you're focusing on yourself. You're focusing on what is good for you. You're focusing on how do you avoid pain in your life? How do you avoid struggle? How do you avoid things that might be tough for you? And the outcome is you live in anxiety. You're constantly worried about how this thing that you've kept from God is going to play out because you know there's no security in it. You know that it isn't God that's helping you in it because you're not giving it to him. So who has to be in control of it? It has to be yourself. And you know that you're not good enough. So now you have to worry about that. And you're bound by it. You're bound to this thing that you can't let go of because it weighs you down, and God will be the one who solves it. As long as you don't let him solve it, it's a weight around you. And it gives you a spiritual distance, just like we saw Adam and Eve. They would rather hide in the forest, well, in the garden, than go out and meet God. So, big question. Does Jesus fear? In the garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prays, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to ground. If that's not a fear response, I don't know what is. Jesus is absolutely horrified in his body for what he knows he's about to endure. But unlike the other examples of people in fear that we've been looking through here, he says, not your will, but mine. He trusts God completely and says, I know what's about to come. I can see it. My body's natural reaction is to be fearful because it knows pain is coming. It knows death is coming. But I stand by a stronger power than my own flesh. I stand by God. And in God, I will not be fearful. So, if it's God's will that I can avoid this, absolutely. I want to avoid it. But is it not his will? I will go through it, and I will endure the pain and the death that is laid out before me. And that is the example that we walk by, that is the Christ that we want to live like every day. It's the person, when they know that pain is coming their way, when they know trials and tribulations are around the corner, they get on their knees and they pray, God, your will, not mine. They pray, not save me. They pray, not let this go past me, I don't want it. They pray, let me be strong, let me stand where you want me to stand, and let me be sure that I trust you in everything. Oh, right. Yes. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll do the benediction. Father, I thank you that we've been able to go through your word today. I thank you that we've been able to dwell into this subject of fear. And I pray that we'll leave here with an encouragement to set fear aside, to not keep subjects from you, not keep matters from you, but step out in the pain and trust that you will do your will. Trust that your will is best, no matter what it looks like, no matter how terrifying it might look. I pray that we will trust and fear and fear you in the godly sense, where we devote ourselves to you because of who you are, where we sacrifice to you because of who you are, where we choose to love you and the people that we meet because of who you are. I pray that that we will be able to devote our lives to living that way, and that we daily will force ourselves to pick up our cross and ask you to let us hang on that cross today so that you can act, so that you can be in us. We are your hands and feet, and that your will be what happens through us today and not our will. Amen. All right, you may rise for the benediction. Can I read that? Yeah. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. Don't run away. We've got people who've made delicious food for you all. And thank you for today.